7 minutes now after 10 o'clock. The feature that you heard at the top of the hour about Safe Cosmetics was produced by three interns working as part of the summer internship program at the Heinz Endowments. And one of them is here with us, Mukui Matunga. And you're going to hear a feature at 10:30 on park violence produced by two interns. And one of them is here with us as well, Brianna Evans Potter. And good morning to each of you. And thank you for coming here to be with us. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Larry?
I'm fine, thanks.
I'm good.
And let's start with you, Mukui. The subject of Safe Cosmetics, how did the group arrive at that? It's a great topic.
Well, my group, Tessa, Ashley, and I, we all have some interest in... I have an interest in medicine. Ashley wants to open her own cosmetic store. And Tessa has an interest in public policy. So cosmetics sort of encompass all of that. And, you know, looking at the health implications, looking at the policy aspect of it, and also looking at how that could impact a possible salon that one may have as well. It interested all of us so much. And we figured that if we don't know about this topic, how can other people know about it either? So our aim was to educate about it and see all that.
Did you have much knowledge at the beginning about the topic?
None at all. It was really surprising to each of us, especially as we went on to the cosmetic database and saw the hazardous stuff that we were using on a daily basis. It was kind of amazing to all of us that, you know, they could be this bad for us.
What are some of the chemicals, do you recall?
Formaldehyde is one. We had the privilege to talk with Terry Collins at Carnegie Mellon University, who's a green chemist. And we learned from him that formaldehyde is a carcinogen, a known carcinogen that is still put in personal care products to as a preservative.
Wow. And a carcinogen, we use it in embalming, and it can't, there must be substitutes, or if it's even needed, do we need cosmetics to last that long? You know, I know you don't. I'm asking that rhetorically.
I don't think we need it to last that long.
Yeah.
You know, there are other chemicals like phthalates, which is a family of chemicals.
That's a plasticizer, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a known endocrine disruptor. So you think of young girls and young boys who are using personal care products on a daily basis and how that can impact their development, their puberty as well. And you wonder, why is this in our personal care products? You know, why are cosmetic companies doing this?
And, you know, being a guy, I'm a little shielded from this, but I see such young girls wearing makeup, I mean, at the age of 8, you know, 9, 10, and I don't know if it's just considered a natural rite of passage or if it just sort of automatically happens. Do you recall in your either of you in your girlhood, when you were younger, Brianna, anything happening where you were encouraged to use makeup at an early age?
No, actually, I'm 17 and I don't even use makeup now, so I wasn't one of those girls.
I was a tomboy. I liked to roll around in mud. So I did have that stage in my life where not necessarily watching my mom put on makeup in the mirror because she didn't put on a lot of makeup to begin with. But watching television and seeing all these absolutely beautiful girls and wondering, you know, why can't I be like that? And my dad constantly telling me, you're beautiful the way you are. You don't need makeup to look any better.
What a great dad. I mean, that's the right message to send. And I do. I get very, very frustrated at the images that media presents to us. It's one reason why we do what we do here. Because... I don't think that's reality, what we see on television.
No, not at all.
Including in the so-called reality shows. I don't think that's reality either. We're going to talk more with Brianna about the specifics of her piece just before we play it. And I want to talk with each of you about the process and also about yourselves. But one other observation about Mukui's piece is your use of the 11 to 14-year-old girls as interview subjects was really cool. What reaction did you have as you did that? Were you surprised at what they had to tell you?
We were really surprised at what they had to tell us. At least I was. Just listening to the candidacy that these kids have about the personal care products. I remember one kid said that some people put on foundation and their face will be a different color than their neck and body. You never realize how observant these kids are about these things. And it was really surprising to all of us, to Tessa and Ashley and I, how candid these kids were. You know, at 11 and 14, we kind of think, and his innocence has sort of gone a little bit, but not for these girls. They're still very observant, very innocent in, at that age.
That's something your pieces have in common, too, is Brianna, when you hear it, you'll hear that her piece includes boys from the same cohort group, the 11 to 14-year-olds that were here as part of our Summer Dreamers Academy talking about park violence. And it's kind of fitting that both of you are here today because incorporating those kids into each of your pieces is a real blessing. It was, first of all, it works so well for the listener, but it also, I think, made for a great experience for those kids to be exposed to successful young women as you are. And I wanted to talk with you each a little bit about that. Brianna, you just got out of high school and you're heading off to college. Tell us some of the particulars.
I graduated from Cornell High School and I'm going to Carleton University to major in nursing this upcoming fall. I'm 17 and I think overall, like, the interview process with the boys and everything that we interviewed was a learning experience for me because some of the things the kids seen in, like, the parks, it was like, wow, I'm almost like 4 or 5 years older than you, and I've never even seen half of this. So it was a great learning process. It's a great experience.
Yeah, I can only imagine. What made you interested in nursing as a career?
Both my maternal and my paternal grandmothers are nurses at UPMC. So they've always told me stories about it as growing up as a child. So I decided to pick it up.
Is there a particular aspect of nursing that you think you'd like to do, med-surg or operating room or CCU?
I want to do emergency.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
I don't know. The emergency room is always interesting to me. I just like being there. I don't know why. It's kind of different from everybody else, but it's always something's going on.
Yeah, I can only imagine. My wife is a nurse, and she that's a second, or some might say even third, field for her. And she's in med-surg, and she really likes caring for people and the relationship she develops with patients as she goes through her work. It makes for something interesting. Now, the process of gathering the interviews that you did had to you mentioned talking with the boys, but also, you spoke the Human Services Corporation, I think. You had a chance to talk with them about violence in parks, too. Once you got all that footage back, what was it like actually creating the piece that you put together?
It was kind of difficult because we had so much great information and we only had a little bit of time to put everything in. So picking, like, what we wanted to hear or what we wanted to put in the piece, that was the hardest part of making it. It wasn't that we didn't know. It was just like, how do you put everything together to tell this great story? Because the boys, they said a lot of great information. And then Elisa Andrew, she told us a lot of great things too. So I think that was the hardest part.
Did you find that to be the case too, Muku, as you put your piece together, that it was there too much stuff?
Or? It was tedious.
Yeah.
It was tedious, especially with the girls. They had so much to say. And so many great things that they said, it was sort of hard to, you know, pick up what was the gold in that, you know, what spoke for the young girl herself, but also spoke for other 11 to 14-year-old girls that are around.
Did you feel a sense of responsibility as you did that to, you know, preserve the integrity of what they said?
We did. we didn't want to change anything that they said. And that's, I guess, why we put them in the beginning, because you come in untainted and you get these ideas from these girls, and then you learn what's in your product and what these girls are exposing themselves to. So preserving their voices was a major part of what we did. We did not want to change anything that they said, and they said so many great things.
Yeah, that's a wonderful objective as you produce these pieces. And I know as we taught you and as we worked together, that was something important to us. But I think each of you would have had that feeling on your own too, given how we've had a chance to get to know you. Now, tell us more about you and where you just graduated from and where you're going.
Well, I'm 18 years old. I just graduated from the Ellis School. And I'll be going to Robert Morris University in the fall to study biomedical engineering and pre-medicine.
Nice. So you both have a medical career ahead of you. Now, was there a reason that you chose those fields?
Biomedical engineering, I love to put things together. I love to take things apart. I'm a geek. I love math. I love science. There are just some things that you can't get away from, and that's one of them. And medicine, I always loved helping people. I volunteered in a bunch of different hospitals, and nothing replaces the feeling that you have when you see a patient walking outside the hospital and see him well, knowing that he was in the hospital just a while back, not that great. Nothing replaces that feeling.
I so agree on that.
Did you spend any time volunteering? I know you've probably, with your family members, I'm sure you're familiar with hospitals.
Yes, actually, I had to do like a fake kind of shift type thing for my senior project, which was on the art of aiding, the nursing field.
Uh-huh.
So I had to do a whole 8-hour shift at the hospital, and I like shadowed a nurse. So it was an amazing feeling.
Now, your experience at the Heinz Endowments as youth philanthropists, a lot of people might not know exactly how this experience goes. You're selected as a pretty limited group. There are only so many slots. And the idea of creating these radio features that you'll be hearing between 10 and 11 all month long here, and they also produced some films, which made their debut at Pittsburgh Filmmakers last night. That's only a small part of what you're doing, and I'd be curious to know what the rest of the internship was like, how it began and how it ended. And I'll turn to Brianna first. Tell me a little bit about what you did.
Okay. My group got together because we were selected to be the interns at United Way of Allegheny County. We all had a common interest in youth, so that's how we were paired together. We have to start at the beginning. You had your orientation week with all the interns, and then you broke off into all our different sites. Once we got to United Way, also known as UWAC, we started writing our RFP, which is a request for proposal. Each team of interns is going to be giving a nonprofit organization anywhere from $5,000 to $25,000 to do a certain project. My team's RFP was called Project YIP, which is Youth Improving Playgrounds and Parks. So we're going to give a nonprofit organization to renovate local playgrounds and local small community parks, but we want the nonprofit organization to also get the youth involved, and we're mainly focusing on middle school age children.
Have you awarded any grants yet?
We have to recommend our grants to the Board of United Way. We started discussing some of the different fund organizations we want to fund, which one is the McKees Roxborough for the renovation of the Third Street Park,
mm-hmm.
also the Pittsburgh Project, and the Mount Washington Community Development.
Those are all great sites. I happen to know all of those sites quite well. Again, talking about responsibility and obligations, that feeling that Muku mentioned that before we were talking, is you need to write this request for proposal in an honest and straightforward way so that people can respond. You need to be sure it gets distributed so lots of people get it. And then you've got to evaluate these proposals that come back, which it's not that easy, is it?
No, it's really not. It's really difficult because, like, my group, we received four different proposals, and we only have $25,000, which may seem like a lot, but to do all the different things that these organizations are asking to do and how much money it's going to cost, it's really not a lot. And we wanted to fund all the groups, but with a limited amount of money, we couldn't do that.
Now, that's Brianna Evans-Potter, and you'll hear her piece on park violence coming up in about 7 minutes. Now, we also, though, Mukui Mutunga, what was your RFP like that you wrote?
Well, our RFP was titled Retrofit Beauty, and we were going to fund a program that aims to educate women about the different health risks that are involved with some of the chemicals that are in your personal care products, but also aims to give them healthy alternatives. So you can't just lay on the gloom and doom and not give them some hope of being able to do something better or something different. So that's what we were looking at in our RFP.
Interesting. And I don't know if it's appropriate to reveal who you recommended yet or not, but were organizations interested in helping to spread the word about this?
Oh, yeah. It was really interesting. We got six different proposals from a number of different organizations across the board. And it was really interesting to see the different ways that they wanted to approach this problem. And it was, we had a really tough time trying to figure out who we wanted to, to recommend.
Did you argue at all? Or not argue, you know what I mean, debate.
We had some debates, some non-violent debates. our group works very well together. And we generally listen to each other before we, you know, start bickering among each other. But we didn't bicker at all, and it became really simple to figure out who we wanted to fund because we all had the same idea in mind and what we wanted to see in an organization. And once we heard each other's points, we started agreeing with each other, and we finally arrived at who we would recommend for the RFP.
And can you reveal your recommendations, or is it too early? That's your call.
We already called the organizations yesterday to let them know. We decided to fund Adagio Health and Strong Women, Strong Girls.
Both excellent organizations as well. Adagio is out, I think, in Murraysville or out in the east suburbs, I believe. They're headquartered there. And Strong Women, Strong Girls does a great job. And what methods did they propose to use to help get the word out?
Well, Strong Women, Strong Girls had a really interesting way. They wanted to have local women who have made an impact in the personal care product industry, either by making their own healthy alternatives, come speak to the girls. And then from there, they'd have the girls make their own personal care products and sell them at like a shop to their family and their friends.
What a good idea.
And then the funds from that would go to a cause that the girls feel needs to be addressed within their communities. So they'd be doing their own philanthropy affairs around. And we thought that was great. You know, they're learning communication skills, they're learning business skills, and they're also interacting with women who do this on a daily basis, who try and make a difference each and every day that they wake up.
That's just terrific. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Heinz Endowments and the Youth Philanthropy Internship Program that the endowments offer, and we have two women who were part of this year's program, and it's for rising college freshmen. So Brianna Evans-Potter and Mukui Mutunga are both getting ready to head off to college, both locally. I hope, while I would certainly wish you lots of opportunities to see the world, I like to see bright people stay in Pittsburgh, so it's kind of nice to know you're both going to be part of the community, at least during your college days, and hopefully maybe even longer. I'm curious now, if you think back to when you began this internship, back in June, I guess it was, and what you felt on that very first day of going into downtown Pittsburgh and going through orientation and getting assigned. Mukui, I forget, were you at the Heinz Endowments itself?
Yes, I was at the Heinz Endowments.
And Brianna was at United Way of Allegheny County. What it was like then, and then how you feel now as you're close to the end of the internship, although you hate to say an end because it's an experience that will be with you forever. But can you contrast how you felt then and now and how you may have changed? And we'll start with Brianna.
The very first day, I was extremely nervous. I knew no one. I live in Coraopolis, so I'm not really familiar with downtown or Oakland or anywhere like that. And then once I got told I was at United Way, I was like, what's United Way? Where's that at? And then I finally met with my group. We had to find our third third member, because we had no idea. Like, Abby and I found ourselves, and we were like, oh, yay, we're both at UWAC. And we found FIFA was going to be our senior intern, so we were good. And then we were like, wait, there's another member of this group, but who is it? So on day three, we finally found out who the other member was.
Shalice.
Yeah. So it was kind of funny, because I had talked to her previously and didn't even realize she was in my group. But now, coming to an end, it's kind of sad, because I've grown so close with, like, my team. I feel like they're my sisters. And it's sad, because it's like, oh, we're separating. I'm not going to see you Monday through Friday. But it was a great experience. And if I can do it again next year as a senior intern, I definitely would.
Well, what's nice is hopefully when they come back to visit during college, you'll be able to still see them. What do you think are the biggest things you learned throughout the summer?
I learned a lot. I had no idea what grant making was about. I learned all about that. We learned about how to make a radio piece, how to make a film piece. I learned a lot this summer. It was a great learning experience.
Oh, that's terrific. And turning to you, Makui, what are your reflections on changes?
I now know what an RFP is.
That too. I forgot about that.
That was a big step. But I've also learned a lot about different things going on in Pittsburgh. I didn't know about the runoff problem. I didn't know about cosmetics. I didn't know about park violence. I knew it existed, but I didn't know how far-reaching it was. And quite honestly, I'm going to miss my group. Ashley and Tessa are both amazing young women. You know, very, very well set. And I think they're going to rock Penn State and Chatham, wherever they go. They will be absolutely amazing. It was great working with them.
Well, I can't tell you how proud we were to work with each of you. And Justin and Jeff and I, you're stars. I mean, what you were able to do is just incredible. And you're both the kind of people, and you know people like this who you meet, and you really want to know what they're going to be like in 10 years or what they're going to be like in 20 years. There's some people that you might not, I mean, all people should be respected, but some folks you're not that interested. But you two are both people I just can't wait to see what happens as you continue to blossom and go out and do whatever you want to do. It's just been a pleasure. Is there anything, we just have a couple minutes, anything you want to say as we close? I meant to ask if you wanted to say hello or to shout out to anybody. We should thank Wayne Jones of the Heinz Endowments and March Petruska, who head up this program. But anything else either of you would like to say?
I like to say to anyone who's going to be a freshman next year in college, if you can get involved with the program, it's a great opportunity, great learning experience, and you make so many new friends. Not only like the interns and everything, you meet so many new people at the different site visits. I would recommend the program to anybody that's going to be an upcoming freshman in college.
So if you're a senior in high school this year, think about applying for the Heinz Endowments Youth Philanthropy Program. And you can go to heinz.org for information about how to do that. Mukui?
Well, I say the same thing that Brianna said, but also thanks to the Saturday Light Brigade. We're not exactly easy people to work with. Oh. I know I'm not an easy person to work with all the time.
I think you were great.
Thanks for helping us and introducing us to a new art form that, unfortunately, is in the later stages, but I'm hoping we'll be able to revive itself, you know, through programs like the Saturday Light Brigade and other radio programs. It was amazing working with you, Jeff, and Justin throughout the week. And also the filmmakers. I mean, we wouldn't have been able to do half the things that we did as filmmakers if it weren't for the help of Sue and her summer interns.
Yes,
well,
Susan Howard is just terrific. Well, we're going to listen to another example. coming up. Thank you both for coming here. It's a busy time of your life. College is going to start in probably a week to 10 days. So for you to be able to take time out and be with us, I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. Thanks
pleasure.
So much.
And that's Brianna. Evans, I keep forgetting to get every name. Brianna Evans Potter, because for a while I was saying Brianna Evans Potter, and Makui Matunga. And you're now going to hear Brianna's piece on park violence.
The Green Compass.
The Green Compass.
Exploring the road to a better Pittsburgh.
Where we are and where we are going.
Hi, this is Brianna Evans Potter.
And this is Shalise Floyd.
Playgrounds and parks are becoming more and more dangerous every day. For example, on June 30th, 2010, a local 16-year-old was shot 5 times near the Horace Mann Elementary School's playground.
We spoke to Alicia Andrews, the Associate Director of the Human Services Corporation, who also volunteers with Kaboom, which is a nonprofit organization that builds parks. Here's what she had to say about park violence.
When parks are let go and there's not that sense of commitment and investment from the people who live there, they can become areas where, bad things happen, drugs, violence, etc. So it's critical to have that community buy-in to keep those areas safe and vibrant for others to use.
On July 8, 2010, 4 teens were wounded in a drive-by shooting in the Manchester Park. In addition, a woman 8 months pregnant was also injured. We spoke with local youth who were affected by the violence occurring in their parks.
What I see at the park is people drinking, people smoking, and people, like, after they get done drinking, they play basketball with bottles.
I actually seen a drug deal going on at a park. I also seen people drinking, throwing bottles on the ground, and carrying around guns. I think they're illegal for them because half of the people I seen with the guns is only 15 and 16.
That park got slabs, got holes burned through them. The swings are missing. There's graffiti on everything.
And the basketball court, there's nothing but one hoop, well, 2 hoops, but they don't have no nets, but have gunshot holes in the backboards.
Well, sometimes I'll go up there and get my cousins, and we'll try to clean up the park a little bit to try to help it keep clean. But then it gets dirty again, so we just gave up.
In order for the violence in these playgrounds and parks to stop, it is critical for the community to become involved to help keep the parks safe for the youth.
If the parks were better maintained, there wouldn't be no graffiti, no drug deals. Almost everybody would be at the park because you have a chance to play at a park that's well maintained. You don't have to worry about your children. You or your kids can just have a good time at the park.
And what's the point of going to the park if you can't do nothing if everything's trashed?
This series was produced at the studios of the Saturday Light Brigade
and was created and made possible by
the Heinz Endowments Youth Philanthropy Interns Program.
More information on the Heinz Endowments is available at heinz.org.